Parenting is a full-time job, but most parents are juggling work, church, and many other commitments. How then can we successfully raise healthy, happy, well-balanced children?
Today on Real Family Talk, we're answering your questions about parenting and nurturing healthy family relationships. Join us.
It's time for Real Family Talk, Your Questions Answered. And our friend, Juliana Bayoni, is here to share questions from viewers like you. Welcome, Juliana.
Thank you.
So where are we starting today?
Here's our first question. My children are driving me crazy. They are ages 13 and 15, and I thought by now they would be much more responsible. As a single parent, I have been working two jobs to make ends meet. I provide them with a roof over their heads, food on their table, clothes on their backs, and a good school for them to get an education. What am I not doing right? Please help. Sometimes I feel as if I'm going to lose my mind.
Oh,
hey, yeah. That's parenting for you.
She sounds very overwhelmed.
Yes. She does. And I really feel for her because she's saying she's a single parent. Yeah. So that's difficult to have to parent two teenagers on your own. So we really empathize with her, first of all. So I would say there was one thing missing from her list of things that she's doing for her kids. So she's working hard and she's providing food for them and she's giving them a good education and all of the right things. So she's doing everything right. But two things she hasn't mentioned. She hasn't taken time out for herself. And she's probably not taking much time out to spend with them in a family type setting and one-on-one.
Yeah. Well, that's rough. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's her time is spent working, trying to take care of these kids. I mean, she's already doing double time. And this is the challenge of single parenting. And not that when you have co-parents that it's not difficult, but at least when you have two individuals, you have someone else who's picking up the slack or at least helping you to do what you're doing. When you have one person who's parent, well, God's plan was for two people on purpose so that people can help each other with this burden. And when I say burden, I mean with this load. It is a load. And, you know, children are emerging, you know, and they need time and they need to be children. 13? 15?
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's tough.
She needs to pray for patience. First of all, I mean, and we mean this sincerely, that she's going to have to, I mean, on a good day, you need to pray for patience, but she's going to really need an extra dose of patience. So she's going to have to learn some strategies, how to calm down. But I would say most importantly, she has to teach her children how to be independent and hold them to it. Because what I hear her saying is that she thought they would be more independent. So that tells me that she's probably asking them to do things, maybe wash the dishes, make their beds, clean the house, or, you know, keep their rooms clean, but she's not holding them accountable. And so what we have a tendency to do as parents, because we want things to be in order, when our kids don't do it, we do it for them. Mm-hmm. So she has to decide what her non-negotiables are. If she assigns them tasks or chores, like, you know, I need you to wash the dishes, I need you to clean the bathrooms, then let's say when I get home or by such and such a time, the dishes need to be cleaned, the bathrooms need to be cleaned, and if they're not, there needs to be some type of consequence. Not punitive, but a consequence. So it might be something that they want to do. Maybe they want to go out with friends, or maybe they want to watch a certain video or something like that. Maybe they won't be able to do that evening.
Yes, and also, she needs to spend more time with them and realize that she doesn't need to be as perfectionist with their relationship. They're 13, they're 15, they're still growing. Many times what happens to parents and why it becomes overwhelming is they expect the job to be done perfectly. They're 13, they're 15, you know, even if they're doing dishes or they're cleaning the house or the bathroom, it's not going to be done perfectly. So have some non-negotiables, and then be flexible on other sides. One of the most difficult things in parenting, just like in any other relationship, but especially in parenting, because you're dealing with emerging human beings, you know, whether, even when they're young adults, they're emerging. And these are teenagers and early teens, I would say. 13, that's an early teen. 15, still an early teen. So set some expectations and make sure that your expectations are not higher than they need to be. Also pray, you know, ask God to help you, you know, and you're going to need prayer to develop patience. And you can't raise children without patience. And you don't get patience without prayer, you know.
And if I can say the prayer, it kind of goes back to what you were saying, Elaine. Take time for yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Take time for yourself. Take time for yourself with God. Yeah. That's the only way that you're really going to
Absolutely.
Be able to do that.
Well, you're
right?
trying to replenish your energy.
Yeah. And it sounds like a difficult thing to do. But if you don't do it, you will feel frazzled.
Yes.
And so people don't realize that prayer actually helps you to calm down. It helps you to take the time that you need to just lower the anxiety. And she needs to lower the anxiety. But I want to say one more thing that's so critical. And the Bible talks about it in 1 Peter 4:8, where it says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins."
Amen.
Just love these kids. You know what? When you come home, if you ask them to wash the dishes and they're not washed, hug them first. You know why? That's also going to soften her, mm-hmm. and it will allow her to be able to be a little bit more creative in the consequence that she comes mm-hmm. up with. It still matters, and it's still important to hold them accountable because they're old enough to help her out in the home.
Yep. Let's go to the next question.
We have another frazzled individual, speaking of frazzled, writing in on social media. "My wife and I have been married for almost 9 years. We have 3 beautiful children who are driving us crazy. I work full-time, and I'm going to graduate school part-time. I never seem to have enough time to rest, catch my breath, or have any peace when I'm home. Our home seems to have no semblance of order. When I tell the kids to be quiet so I can get some peace, my wife tells me I'm stifling their individuality and creativity. Honestly, I no longer recognize the woman I married. Please help."
Mm. Well, I mean, he needs to look in the mirror also because they don't recognize him. I mean, he's going to work, he's going to school, he's doing all these things. Time is a zero-sum game. You know, if you take it to do this, you're not going to have it to do something else. And children are children. If you're raising children while you're doing all those things, keep it in perspective, you know.
Yeah. You know, again, he's just being a little uptight. Can I say that? He needs to take it down a little bit. But I understand his stress level is high. He's dealing with a lot. He's providing for his family. He's going to school. He's doing all of this. So again, I would say, similar to what we said in the last case, he needs to relax a little bit because his wife is also very frustrated. And it's going to, the kids are going to internalize this stress and this anxiety
Absolutely.
In their lives. So spend more time together, love each other, and then let's worry about some of these other things afterwards. Sometimes we're too worried. I mean, Willie just said it.
Yeah.
We're too worried about making everything perfect. And what we really need to be doing is to be loving one another and creating a loving environment where everyone can feel that they can thrive mm-hmm. and they can express themselves.
In a moment, we'll answer more of your questions. Stay tuned. On today's edition of Real Family Talk, we're answering your questions about parenting. Juliana, what's the next question?
We have another one that came in on social media that says, how can I help my children become mature adults?
Oh, that's a big one. One way to help your children become mature adults is by model the behavior you want them to practice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So John Gottman, a leading psychologist on marriage and family, he talks about emotional coaching. And honestly, I mean, this is something that we definitely know from the Bible. You know, we need to be able to train up our kids. You know, the familiar text in Proverbs, train up your kids in the way that you want them to go.
Yes.
And a lot of times we misunderstand what that statement means. You know, we think that it means like we're guaranteed that if we do this, our kids are not going to depart from it. No, what it means is that you're going to train them. Mm-hmm. You're going to nurture them. You're going to mentor them. You're going to coach them into becoming adults.
Yeah, but it also means, Elaine, that you train them in their strengths. When it says
yes.
Train up a child in the way she
yes.
should go, you're talking, you're speaking to the strengths of the child. What are their gifts? What are their proclivities?
And finding out what
yes,
those gifts
absolutely.
Are. And the only way we can find that out is by talking to our kids, even when they're young, and watching them. Mm-hmm. What are they inclined to becoming?
You said earlier that this is an emerging person.
It's an emerging person.
Yes. Yes. So you're kind of helping that person
yes.
really emerge.
And you're guiding them. You know, so don't be frustrated. I understand, you know. She says she wants her children to become mature adults.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all of us, here's the issue. Children are not small adults. They're children. So becoming an adult takes time. And even adults are not mature. You know, we all fall down someplace. We have strengths and we have growth areas. And to be sure, we're human beings. It means that we're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have faults. And perhaps your children may have some faults.
Yeah.
They're children.
And there's something else that's very critical, that in order for our children to become mature adults, they need to learn how to manage their emotions. That's the most critical thing, even going into adulthood. And we see so many adults who've never learned how to manage their emotions. And why has that happened? Because their parents haven't learned mm-hmm. how to manage their emotions themselves. But something else, we haven't affirmed our children's emotions. And so parents need to learn to affirm the emotion. So if your child feels sad, we shouldn't chastise them for being sad. We should help them understand what's happening to them, why they feel sad, and how can we manage that? How can we deal with that? You feel angry? Okay, you feel angry. That's an emotion. How do we help you manage that emotion so that you don't hurt yourself or hurt others?
You're basically talking about emotional intelligence.
Emotional mm-hmm.
And
intelligence.
Emotional intelligence is all about self-control. Self-control. There's another word.
Awareness.
Self-awareness. So you're going to teach that to your children mm-hmm. by the way you behave. How in touch with my emotions am I? And what do I know about myself? And how can I control myself? And relating to your children in a way that does not convey that you're exasperated, because they're not there yet, and they're not going to be there yet. In fact, they're going to leave your home, and they're not going to be there yet, just like you left your parents' home, and you were not there yet. So let's just remember that and keep it in perspective. Let's go to the next question.
The next question was emailed in, and it says, how do I fix a relationship with my son who has a better relationship with his mom than he does with me? It's difficult to build a relationship after years of distance. I want to get closer to him, but he seems to push me away. Please help. It sounds like here it's not talking about physical distance, but emotional
yeah.
distance.
Yeah.
And it could be physical distance
because it sounds
like it's been many years, and perhaps this is a young adult now who has left home. And first of all, the fact that the son has a better relationship with his mother than with him, that's not a problem. Thank God that he has a good relationship with his mother. The truth is, most sons have better relationships with their mother than they do with their fathers. After all, mothers are the primary caregivers and nurturers and tend to emote more than fathers. Not to say that every son is closer to his mother than to his father, but most of them are. Not a bad thing. But If you're concerned about it, good for you, I would say to this father. Good for you that you're concerned about not being close and wanting to be closer. Mm-hmm. Wanting to be closer is a choice you make. So how do you make that? The Bible says if you want friends, you should show yourself friendly. This is also good for fathers and children. So you want to reach out to your son? You want to connect more? Call him up. Invite him to a game or something. Do something. Go golfing together. If you did some of that when he was growing up, you're probably still open to doing it again. So find ways in which you have interests, similar interests, and connect with him. Don't wait for him to call you or to text you or to communicate with you. If you are the one who wants a closer relationship, well, do something about it. That's what I would say.
I think you've pretty much covered it all. It's never too late. Mm. And I think if there's one thing I want to say to this parent is that it's never too late. It doesn't matter how old his son is. It's going to take time, and it's going to be hard, because I heard you say that he feels like his son is pushing him away. So there's resentment there. This child feels resentful. And you know what happens a lot of times to parents is when their children were younger and they were busy and they thought they were giving them everything, they were working hard so they could provide for them.
Going to graduate school. They're not there.
Yeah, but the one thing they were not giving them was their time.
Yes.
And time was so important, and they needed to be listened to. And so what happens now? The kid has grown up, and now the father wants time. And the kid is like, well, now I'm living my best life.
Yes, and I don't have time.
And I don't have time. Yes. And there's no history of time together.
Yes.
So he's going to have to work hard. And what we often see is parents get frustrated, and then they get mad, and they say, oh, this child is ungrateful. You know, I did all this, and now look at how he's treating me. And so what we just ask is that he just humble himself and be open to this taking time into this relationship, evolving slowly over time, and to really pray and ask God to give him that abundant love for this child, to continue to just say, this is my child, this is the child that God gave me, and I'm just going to continue to love him and work hard towards this relationship.
I think what you said there was very important, and that is the whole juxtaposition of when the kid is growing up, you're so busy going to school, going to work, doing all these things for the betterment of your family, but you're missing that time. So be patient and keep trying. As long as there's life, there's hope. Yes.
I also wonder if perhaps there's an element of healing that has to take place in the relationship. You say that it seems this resentment that's happening. Maybe there's something that happened between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. That's
that
very...
needs to be worked out. And that also will take time. And as you mentioned before, this element of humbling yourself to maybe I did do something wrong by my son.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. Most kids
and a
are
lot
upset.
Of times, and a lot of times parents don't want to humble themselves because they don't think they need to. And it's what the Lord asks of us to do. So after a short break, we'll tackle more of your questions about parenting. Stay with us. Juliana Bayoni is here to share your questions about parents and family relationships. Juliana, what's the next question?
So we have someone who wrote in and said, how can I improve the communication in my family?
Oh, well, that's a tough one. But it's doable. And that's one of the issues that we call dynamic factors, because there are some factors in relationships that are dynamic and some are
static.
Static. And static factors cannot really be changed. Who your parents were, where you were born, a number of things like that. But communication is a dynamic factor, and we can learn to communicate better. And it's a big one. And usually the way people communicate, it's based on the patterns that their families of origin communicated with. In some homes, people yell, you know, and what, you know, or they don't listen. They just talk and talk and talk, and no one has a chance to respond. So they don't communicate well. So how do you learn to communicate well? Well, tell them, Elaine.
Man, you were going really well there for a while. Good communication takes time.
Yeah.
Again. And obviously, the person wants to do it. And what is great is the fact that they're seeking help to do it. Because this is one area where we all think we know how to do it and that we don't need any help with it. And so we go into relationships just assuming that we're just going to know how to communicate well. And as Willie is saying, we got married. We came from different households,
families,
different families. I grew up in a single parent home. He grew up in a two parent home family. So you already see how communication is going to be very different, mm-hmm. right? So we get married. We come into this relationship. We now have to learn how to merge our patterns of communication and possibly even come up with a new paradigm of communicating. We can't just say, well, this is how we did it in my family. And I can't say that, and he can't say, well, we can, and it's not going to work well for
us. Right, and there's no point to it. The point is, what can we do to communicate in a way that is constructive, that makes sense? And, of course, we have some stuff that we share all the time, and we can share it now. And it's Stephen Covey who speaks about it in...
Seven Habits.
Yes, yeah, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People or Families. And he speaks about being proactive. And by being proactive, he basically says, between what someone says to you, the stimulus, and your response, and the reason there's bad communication is because you usually just respond,
react,
instead of listening to what the person says. So three things. We usually say to people, take a space between what someone says to you and how you respond. Take a space. And in that space, three things need to happen. Number one, pause. Someone says something, you may not like what they said, and you may just overreact and say something nasty. No, that's not going to help the relationship. So don't be reactive, be proactive. Pause and listen. And if you're a Christian and you believe in a higher power, pray. And ask God to help you to be patient, to be kind, to respond in a way that will enhance relationship instead of destroying it. So pause. Number two, think. What are you thinking? Think about what you should say and what you shouldn't say. See, even in our relationship, after almost 35 years of marriage and loving each other and what have you, sometimes Elaine may say something or I may say something that she doesn't like or I don't like. And it's easy to respond in a way that will escalate the problem. So think. What are you thinking? What I should say and what I shouldn't say. If I say this, this is what's going to happen.
And our natural sinful selves,
yes,
selfish as well,
yes,
we want to say the thing that's going to hurt the person.
Yes.
Right? Because we felt hurt.
Yes.
Even if the person didn't intend to hurt us, if we feel hurt, we want to strike back. And so that's why it's really important to pause and not be reactive, because you might rehearse in your head, you know, what I really want to say.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't say it. Why? Because I want good communication. I want this relationship to go well.
Not only that, you know, I want us to have a good time. You get married to have a good time. You didn't get married to have a good argument. You know what I mean? So we have these, I say illusions, but more than that, expectations in our minds about what we want to do later on. Well, if we hijack this conversation, we're not going to have the great relationship,
dinner,
the great dinner, the great time we want to have together.
Doing.
In fact, if you get into an argument, I don't want to spend any time with you. That's what usually what happens. So think what you should say and shouldn't say. And then
number three, choose the right
response.
Yeah. And there's one other thing that I want to add. that really enhances good communication, and that is that we need to give the other person the benefit of the doubt. Mm. So if I feel hurt, let me process that and deal with it. And then stop and think, you know what? I may feel hurt, but he didn't mean to hurt me on purpose.
Yes.
Right? So I say, you know, my spouse loves me, or my husband loves me, my wife loves me, or even my children. They didn't mean to hurt me. And this especially happens with teenagers and parents. And teenagers need to know that parents get hurt. Mm-hmm. But parents also need to remember that they're the adults in the relationship and that their children don't mean to hurt them. And so if we give them that benefit of the doubt, then it makes it a little easier for communication to be enhanced.
You have another question.
Yes, and I think that it is a good segue because it deals directly with what you just said. How can I build a strong relationship with my children in the middle of our busy life? So you're saying, you know, maybe sometimes we hurt each other, especially with teenagers. We've had several people who have mentioned, I'm busy, I'm trying to give all this to my children, but how can I build this connection? How can I build this relationship with my kids? Yeah.
It's almost a summary of everything we've already said. You know, how do I build this connection with my kid? Well, one, spend time together, meaningful time. And people like to say, well, it's not about quantity, it's about quality. Yeah, but there's no quality if there's no quantity, mm-hmm. you know. And the people who say quality time usually are giving no time. And there's no quality in zero, you know. So you need to invest time in this relationship.
Yeah. So what I would want to say, because I don't want it to just sound theoretical, because... Yeah. Sometimes people are saying, well, that's just not realistic, right? But it is. We make the things that are most important, we make time for the things that are most important to us. Mm. And I know that sounds like a strong statement, right? But I intend for it to be. If I decide that I want to be married and have children, this has to be the primary relationship. This has to be the most important thing in my life, second only to God. Right? Because if we were to ask people, what are the things that are most important to you? Most people will, those people who are believers, who are people of faith, will say God first. The next thing almost everyone says is family. Mm-hmm. But what, and the third thing is usually work. But what usually ends up happening is it gets flipped. Work comes first, then family, then God. Mm. And we need to be able to flip that formula. We have to make time for God. When God gives us that peace, we have time. We figure out how to make time for family. And then work is not going to suffer.
Yes. And so what we need to do is be intentional about making time with our children. Thanks to our viewers for submitting these timely questions. And thank you, Juliana, for sharing them with us. If you have questions for us to answer, please share them through our social media links. We'll see you next time.